We want to continue our study on the New Age movement. And we've entitled our study, New Age, Satan's Subtle Lie. And what we're trying to do is to just look at the areas in which the New Age is making great inroads. And whether we like it or not, all of us are subject to the New Age. Sometimes it is so subtle that even those who feel that they understand the movement and the purpose of the movement, I think even sometimes we can be sucked into some of the language of it and some of the thinking of it. And so, during our study, of which we will try to cover a number of subjects today, we've been trying to look at how the New Age really has affected religion and politics, advertisement, business, education, self-esteem, doctrine, entertainment, music, environment, technology, sports. You think I can get all that done in an hour? Well, we're going to try. At least we'll try to hit some of those subjects. Now, again today, what I'd like to do is simply to read several scriptures to try to set the basis for it. And last week in our first study, we looked at the scripture and we looked at some of the basic beliefs. Today, let's begin by reading again the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we look at the New Age, Satan's subtle lie, and the subtitle would be, Those Who Stand for Nothing Fall for Anything. Sometimes we simply say, well, I'm going to choose not to get involved. Well, unfortunately, when you were born on planet Earth, you whether you realize or not, decided to get involved, because the attack of the New Age is something that I believe is really worldwide. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and so on. Now, the phrase in verse 2, for men should be lovers of their own self, has to do with loving yourself. And one of the primary doctrines of the New Age is this idea that really the greatest love is to love ourselves. And the underlying theme of this is that actually we are gods. Whether we realize it or not, we are gods. But the trouble is our flesh, and the trouble is our minds sometimes are not able to comprehend what our real potential is. And so even though we're gods, we're disguised. And what happens through a process of reincarnation, coming back on earth again and again and again, somehow or another we will make this discovery that we are gods. And so the process of identifying the God in you is to begin by loving yourself. And so it is the doctrine of self-love. Remember that back in Genesis chapter 3, here is the promise that Satan said to Eve, when you eat this fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And the lie hasn't changed, does it? Now, turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 17. We will not be doing a detailed study of that portion this week. We did last week, but again, I think it's important for us to try to set some framework for those that were not here on our first lesson. Verse 10, And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast, or the Antichrist that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. In other words, the Antichrist will take his power from the seventh kingdom that rules. And the seventh kingdom will be identified as having 10 kings. And in Daniel it says that as well, that last kingdom that will be identified as the 10 toes. Remember in the image of Nebuchadnezzar, as you come down to the feet, there were 10 toes, and those toes were made part of iron, part of clay. In other words, they were an extension of the Roman Empire, as we looked at last week. And it says that there will be a series of kings, a collection of kings, that when the Antichrist comes, he will pull three kings out, and it will leave 10. So when you come to Revelation, he again refers to it as a 10-king kingdom. And it says that these, out of these, they will give their power to the Antichrist. Now, notice what it says in verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, who have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So their kingdom, that the time of their power will be short-lived. Turn, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We want to begin our reading in verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "And now you know what restrains, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then," there's the time frame, "and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be judged to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This passage is again talking about the last period of time. And it says that there will come a time when the Antichrist will be revealed. But it says there's something that restrains him or holds him back. Now, it says that the iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, doth already work. In other words, his devilish work has already begun. But there's something that restrains him, makes him so that he cannot complete all that he wants to do. And when that one that restrains is removed, then, verse 8, then shall that wicked one be revealed. Now, I really believe that the Antichrist will not be known until the church is raptured. But I think the work of the Antichrist will be evident prior to the calling out of the church. And that's what we begin to see and what we're looking at today. It identifies him as the Antichrist because it says that when the Lord comes, he will consume him with the spirit of his mouth. He will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. But this one who comes, verse 9, he is so powerful that he will work with all power. He will work with signs and with lying wonders. He will promise people exactly what they want to hear. And it says in Matthew 24 that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. Now, it's not possible because I think those that are born again will be in heaven, because Matthew 24 is a tribulation text. And then it goes on to say that with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, God will blind those who have heard the gospel and refuse to come to him. So when the Antichrist makes his appeal, people all over the world will say, "This must be the Christ." And frankly, there will be no such thing as an atheist or an agnostic. But instead, people will respond to what the Antichrist says. And so, what is the thing that holds back the Antichrist? Well, I believe the thing that restrains, according to verse 7, is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is that which seals and indwells every believer. But when the rapture of the church comes, and the saints of God and the Spirit of God are removed from the earth, then the work of the Antichrist begins in serious form. So this is really the spiritual background, the scriptural background for what we're looking at. In the last days, you know, because men will be lovers of themselves. The doctrine that caused Eve to fall was that if she did this, she would be God. And this is exactly the same lie that is going on today. Now, let's take a look at some of the aspects. I simply want to spend a moment or two on the political. Remember last week we saw that there is actually a political power that claims by 1992 they will be the dominant power of the world. I guess the thing that is so remarkable is not that some collection of kings or countries would say that they're going to be the dominant power. It's the fact that everyone seems to accept it. The economic summit that took place in Houston, Texas, this year, the conclusion of that was that Europe and Japan would lead the way in world economic as we approach the year 2000. Now, I don't know about you, but I was slightly insulted. I agree. The United States is on hard times, but, you know, somewhere along the line, it seems like we ought to be mentioned. But Europe community sees political union by 1992. A unified Europe, a truly common market. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, there's been the dream of a united Europe, a revived Roman Empire. These are headlines out of our own paper. And it goes on and on, doesn't it? And we have watched one of the most incredible political scenarios as we've seen Germany united. We've seen the common market come to a great position and power, exactly as the Bible said, that it would be a revived Roman Empire. That's the political framework. Next, we said that even though that's the political framework, there's another thing the Bible says. The Bible said in Revelation 17 that the religious and political arms of the world would be joined together. I showed you last week an article that talked about how that politics is properly spiritual and things that are spiritual are properly political. Now, I don't believe that for a minute. I think you could become a very spiritual person and never be bothered by politics, to really be honest. And I think you could be much occupied with politics and not become spiritual at all. But this article that appeared in the religious section of our paper said that in order to be properly political, you have to be spiritual. No, that's a sign for the last days. It says in the last days, religion and politics will join together, and we're right there, aren't we? I read to you brochures out of our own paper that talk about churches that are occupied with the New Age, and they don't even know it. They think it's church as usual. But everything that they do tends to build up self, and nothing reflects on Christ. There's a lack of stand on the inspiration of Scripture. There's a lack of stand on the deity of Christ. Putting together things such as the announcement I read where witches and paganism are part of branch of Christianity. And this is sponsored by churches. It's pathetic. Well, maybe the height of all of this, I think, is best summarized by Robert Schuller's best-selling book now, Believe in the God Who Believes in You. And I don't know about you, but I'm offended by a God that would believe in me. Because I know that I can't be trusted. And God knows it. And a real God would never believe in you. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. And yet this message, at the expense of hundreds of thousands of dollars, was broadcast into Russia twice. It has nothing to do with crucifixion of Christ. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with faith in yourself. For the concluding line is simply this. Really, we are the ones who determine the future. My dear friend, we don't determine the future. It is God who determines the future. And so we wrap this up into something that we call religion, and it has nothing to do with the Bible at all. Again, the height of it may be expressed by what is called the Terror Center. And this is a spokes center for the New Age movement, and they openly admit that they are New Age. But I just want to read to you some of their things. For example, here is one of their mailings. It says, "The Christ is now here. He has been expected for generations by many religions. The Christians know him as Christ. The Jews await him as Messiah. The Hindus look for his coming. The Buddhists expect him as Maitreya. The Muslims hope for the appearance of Muhammad. The names may be different, but in fact, these religions await the same one, the world teacher whose personal name is summed up by Maitreya. He returns now at the beginning of the age of Aquarius as the teacher and guide for all humanity, regardless of race or religion or belief. He comes not to judge, but to aid and to inspire." That's a bold statement, don't you think? They also ran a full-page ad in the New York Times and USA Today. They go on. Now listen to this. "Predominant in some religious circles is the opinion that the return of Christ must be preceded by the reign of a demonic antichrist." Now, they're talking about me again. No, I don't plan to bring a lawsuit. That's exactly what I believe. The Bible is repeatedly quoted in support of this opinion. What better support could you have than the Bible? But this view is an error. In fact, the individuals who say this may be the spirit of Antichrist. But what we need, it says, is an energy which breaks down and destroys the old, the worn-out forms and attitudes, preparing the way for the creative building energies of the new Christ. And what they're saying is if we could just get rid of these Christians, or these people, they don't call them Christians, who believe this, then their Christ could appear. My dear friend, that's going to happen. One of these days, I'm going to disappear. And when I do, every other believer will disappear, and then will the wicked one be revealed. Now, that's the teaching of the Bible. It's not something that I've made up. I do believe it to be true because it's the teaching of the Bible. And so these people address the idea. Some people are even saying that what they're bringing in here is the Antichrist. They said, listen, we're aware of the Antichrist. We know his work. We know his signs. And in fact, they say the people that are saying we're Antichrist, they're Antichrist. Listen to this. "At the earliest possible moment, Maitreya will demonstrate his true identity. On the day of declaration, the international radio and television networks will be linked together. Maitreya will be invited to speak to the world. We will see his face on television. We will hear his voice and appeal telepathically. He will overshadow all humanity simultaneously. Even those who are not watching television will have the same experience. Every person will hear his words in their own language. From this point on, he will be recognized as a world leader. He will repeat on a worldwide scale the true happenings of Pentecost. At the same time, hundreds of thousands of spontaneous healings will take place throughout the world. In this way, humanity will know that this man, and only this man, is truly the Christ." Now, the Bible says that when he comes, he will come with power and signs and lying wonders. And my dear friend, I really believe that that will happen. Now, I won't bore you with the rest of it, but they make some predictions, and it's incredible. They predicted earthquakes in Russia weeks before it occurred. They predicted the earthquake in Canada before it occurred. They predicted the shooting down and the destruction of jets and planes and trains before they occurred. Are they right all the time? No. You see, they're not inspired. But I'll tell you what, it is an evil force. And so the idea of the New Age, listen, it's in religion. Sunday school material, programs, the whole thing, it's there. And so the New Age, when someone mentions the Bible, it doesn't mean they're a Christian. It could be that they're part of the enemy. And my dear friend, the Terra Center and Lord Maitreya are not part of the program of God. They're the spirit of Antichrist. And I don't know why we should beat around the bush about it. I think we need to declare clearly and plainly that that's an enemy of the grace of God. And to say that voice is an equal voice is absolutely wrong. And anyone who says that, I believe, is an enemy of the cross of Christ. And so sooner or later, I guess we're going to have to take our stand if you don't want to take a stand. I guess that's the privilege that you may have in this country. But I really believe that the Word of God would say in these last days, God is going to look for people that are not afraid to say, listen, there is a white and there is a black. And that which is of God, let us bless it and let us carry it on and let us proclaim it. And that which is the counterfeit, let us be against it. Whatever form it might take. If it's political, if it's education, if it's entertainment, if it's sports, if it's business, if these things are opposed to God, my dear friend, I'm going to be opposed to them. Now, you may decide that that's fanatical, and that's all right. I'll just have to be raptured and go to heaven fanatical, and if you're born again, you'll be raptured and go to heaven, and in heaven we'll be great friends, and on the earth you'll criticize me and all that, and I'm willing to try to live with you, in spite of the fact that you may not agree with me in every one of these areas. So, what are some of the areas that the New Age is making great inroads? And I just happened to bring with me a couple articles. Now, we won't be able to cover them all, but maybe we'll be able to do some of them. Basic beliefs. I think last time I covered a few of the things that they believe. In summary, they say that Jesus is not the only Christ, nor is he God. Instead, they said that man is himself God. He consists of, he's the creator of the forces. And so man already exercises the power inherent to his divinity and needs only to awaken to this fact. They say this, all religions and religious teachings lead to the same goal, all have equal merit. They say that real scripture is the ancient wisdom of Babylon. They say that sin and evil do not exist. They said peace and love do. Eventually, all of us will be guided by peace and love. I also want to quote from what I think to be one of the clearest statements of what they believe. There are three principles. If you understand these three principles, I think you'll be able to pick out New Age as it attacks. And so today, particularly, want to concentrate on the advertisement, on the business community, on education, and we'll see how far we get. For example, here is one. It says this, in Los Angeles, in a public school classroom, 25 first graders are asked to lie still as their teacher tells them to imagine or to visualize that they are perfect beings who are full of light and contain all the wisdom of the universe within them. Now, folks, that's a lie. There is not a child on the earth that is perfect. And I think the worst thing you can ever do is to tell them that they are little gods. And so it says this, this exercise is part of guided imagery. It's the visualization process that is so big in education today. And this teacher, her curriculum is part of the confluent education, and it reflects her belief that we are all God. Now, that's her statement. Now, I support the idea that we should not bring and mix religion and government. I really do. I'm not offended by that at all. And so if we've taken God out of the classrooms, then why do we bring in other cults and other religions? That's my question. Because whether we want to admit it or not, the New Age is a religion. It's more than just a way to think. It is a religion. And she agrees that her religion is the New Age, and she agrees that she believes that all are gods. I think it would be very difficult then for a first grade teacher to paddle one of her students, don't you? Have you ever thought of the concept of paddling God? Well, that's just one of the proofs to me that all first graders are not gods. Next, listen to this. People may take up yoga, get involved in holistic health, read books on Eastern religion, search for a guru, drop the hobby, lobby for meditation in public schools, or write books. These are all part of the practices that can bring great benefit to humanity. How? Because the New Age sees humanity poised on the edge of a worldwide transformation. The supporters believe that the world's economic, military, social, political problems can be solved by releasing human potential. Here's their three basic ideas. The essential idea behind this new consciousness is that all is one. It's called monism. That the earth mass emphasize that we're one with Mother Earth. It denies any separation between humans and nature, between humans and God. Instead, the universe is a seamless garment, a perfect unity. In other words, there is no difference between a dog and a cat in this podium and me. Now, I don't know about you. I probably haven't gone as far in science as I should have, but man, I think there's some basic differences between a chunk of wood and a human. Every once in a while when I try to teach a kid algebra, I begin to think maybe there's a chunk of wood in his head. But these people are not very scientific if they can say that there is no difference between this podium and a dog. Okay? And then there's no difference between a dog and a human. And then they go on to say, and therefore there must not be any difference between a human and God. Listen, there's a world, there's so much difference. It's just incredible, isn't it? But that's the basic building block. Second one. First of all is one, next, all is God. Now, I'm just going to quote him. The Christian view of a personal God is abandoned in favor of an impersonal energy, force, or consciousness. It is the Eastern religion, such as Hinduism, Buddhism. The New Age God is more an it than a person. It's the force of Star Wars. Now, I know what you thought of me when I spoke against Star Wars in ET a couple years ago. That's okay. We've remained friends. Third, here's the third claim. The New Age thinking claims that we are all God. So first, all is one. Next, all is God. Third, we are all God, whether we realize it or not. Now, I'm going to quote him. The God of the Bible is dethroned. Humans are crowned supreme. The Father in heaven is replaced by the divine within every one of us. I think that's a lie. And I think that lie comes from the pit of hell. I don't believe that this is the basic building block that will bring all humanity to peace. I think it's the basic building block that will bring all humanity under the captivation of the Antichrist. That's what I think. By the grace of God, he'll never be able to complete his devilish work until the church is gone. But here's the question. Do you know Christ as Savior? Because if the rapture were to occur, I'll tell you what, people in this room who have heard this message, I think will be deceived by the Antichrist. That's how powerful his persuading forces will be. Now, they go on. Knowing oneself is the key to entering into the New Age thinking. The New Age writer wrote, to awaken the God who sleeps at the root of our human being. This is the goal behind confluent education. Children must realize they are divine. To the New Age advocate, all religions are but different paths to the same truth, that all is one, all is God, we are gods. Now, how do you have a New Age experience? To the New Age people, being born again doesn't mean spiritual rebirth through faith in Christ, but being born again and again and again in reincarnation. So when you say, you know, got to be born again, they'll say, I have been born again. Shirley MacLaine has now sketched 8 of the people that she's been before. Now, through reincarnation, you're going up. I'd say Shirley MacLaine is, And she says, I know there's more of me, but I can just remember the last 8. Well, so when you say you got to be born again, I say, well, we have. We've been born again and again. Now, how do you have a New Age experience? Well, here's what they say. You can attain a New Age experience through drugs, through meditation, through Eastern meditation, through yoga, through martial arts, through hypnosis, through biofeedback, through sex. When you have sex, you're exercising your right as a god. And so it's not wrong. There's no such thing as sin and guilt. Well, you can imagine why this is the fastest growing religion on college campuses today. You see, there's simply no rules. Now, you say, well, that's fine. That's theory. But how does that translate into things that are practical? Well, let me try to show you. Let's take, just for example, let's take the aspect of advertisement. Unless you think I'm trying to make this up, I will quote to you from the New York Times News Service. This is not a Christian publication. And it talks about a New Age, and it begins to list around it all kinds of New Age ads And here's what they say. Representatives of some of the nation's largest corporations, including IBM, AT&T, General Motors, met in New Mexico to discuss how metaphysics, the occult, and Hindu mysticism can help executives compete in the marketplace. Well, they're honest about who's involved. On one level, they say, it is evidenced by the surge of interest in new metaphysic religions, mediums, the occult, reincarnation, psychic healing, Satanism, spirit guides, and other aspects of supernatural phenomena and belief. On another level, the scholars cite the spreading influence of the psychological self-help in human potential groups. On both levels, leaders contend they are ushering in what they call a new age of understanding and intellectual fervor as significant as the Renaissance. What is changing, researchers say, is that an increasing number of middle-class Americans, many of them middle-aged, are showing an interest in supernatural phenomena that blend Eastern mystic and Western occult thinking. I think it is as much political movement as a religious movement. It is spreading into business management theory and a lot of other areas. If you look at it closely, you see it represents a complete rejection of Judeo-Christian and bedrock American values. Now, that's their summary. This guy's not even a believer. And it goes on to say that most would argue that mankind is on a threshold, a great evolutionary leap of consciousness. How'd it begin? Again, I quote them. It was introduced to us on a large scale by the Force in George Lucas's Star Wars films. And then it begins to say, it's made its way through entertainment, advertisement. Now, despite such criticism, the New Age has now found its way into the Stanford University's well-regarded Graduate School of Business. Now Harvard has courses on the New Age and so on and so on. And they list the whole process. All right? Let's look at some of the New Age ads. Now, I just want to tell you that most of these ads have been given to me by junior high and high school students that attend the school. All right, so they are able to recognize it. Maybe you'll be also. Here's one. It says this, I believe in crystal light because I believe in me. Now, I'm not against crystal light. Matter of fact, I didn't know what crystal light was. I just recognized that as New Age. And then I found out it's an iced tea and a lemonade, and I kind of like crystal light lemonade, to be honest with you. But you see, the mark of a New Age ad is this. It doesn't talk at all about the product. It just talks about you. You become the center and the important thing in the advertisement. Now, crystal light could be dog food. You know, I believe in crystal light because I believe in me. What does that tell you about lemonade or iced tea? I mean, it doesn't say it's refreshing. It doesn't say it tingles. It doesn't say it's yellow. It doesn't say it's orange. It's New Age, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying don't drink crystal light. I'm just saying you need to realize that we're being bombarded by it. Here's one. You deserve a break today. I'm not against McDonald's hamburgers. In case you're wondering, that's who runs the ad. But what you really deserve today is not a break. You know what you really deserve? If we got what we deserve, we'd get hell, wouldn't we? So, don't go into McDonald's and say, I just want what I deserve. But, listen, we eat at McDonald's, but you just need to understand it's New Age advertisement. Here's one. Be all you can be. You know what that is? You can be a great big sinner, or you can be a little teeny old baby sinner, or you can be a teenage sinner, but that's all you can be. Teach her to love herself. Grab all the gusto you can get. I did it my way. Get in touch with your feelings. If it feels good, do it. Satisfy yourself. That's the entire slogan. There's the only words on the whole billboard are satisfy yourself. And they sell a product. You could put any product there, couldn't you? And this is exactly what the executives meant. The way to sell things to people is to appeal to themselves. Here's one. If you can dream it, you can do it. Now, I know you're going to be worried about the lawsuits I'm going to get by giving free advertisements to some of these stores, but I will. Zellers. If you went to Canada, you would know that it's a leading department store. And here is their back-to-school ad. And at Zellers down here at the bottom, it says, coming soon, New Age contest. I mean, that's right in their school ad. So we call the head office of Zellers, and they say that it's only a coincidence that the words New Age, even though they're capitalized, are used in the ad. Matter of fact, she said, we've never heard of the New Age philosophy. And she said, the only reason we did it was because New Age, the phrase New Age, sounds good in French. And we're advertising in French as well as English. That's a good excuse. Here's one out of the Sunday paper. The power of crystal close at hand. Energy at your fingertips. Crystal aglow and New Age vitality. And you probably get this every Sunday delivered to your door with the paper. Crystal power ring set in fascinating sculpture. Crystal power, clearly styled for the New Age, and so on and so on. There it is. Here's one that was just given to me. J.C. Penney's just dropped a line of clothing because it had a New Age ad sewed right into the garment about how that man's mind would make it so that he wouldn't hunt animals because he would be surrounded with a world with pure thoughts. Well, you know how pure the thoughts of men are. This is a great one. Be all you can be. It's the Army. Here's one of my favorite ones. Now listen to this. See if you can pick out the product. All you have to be is you. I mean, that really tells you what it's about, isn't it? This thing is a perfume. Now, I'll tell you this. You never use a perfume so you'll smell like you. I mean, when you come into a room, you know, and someone goes, I knew that was you. I mean, that's not a compliment, is it? I mean, the reason you put that stuff all over you is you don't want to smell like you. You know, you want to smell like a petunia or a potato or something. All you have to be is you. And we buy this stuff. It's amazing. Here's one. This one's fantastic. Vanderbilt. Let it release the splendor of you. Man, I don't know how that sells because I smell these kids after they've worked out. And they don't need to release the splendor of you. Now try to guess this one. He's my comfort. He's my inspiration. He's my love. But I'm captain of my soul. That's sportswear. Champion sportswear. Now, what has that got to do with tennis shoes? Well, the answer is nothing. But see, they're selling you, aren't they? And whether we realize or not, ad after ad is this way. This one is the dandy. I'm going to be real careful because this is probably one of those companies that would sue me. But it's one that always starts with showing a big piece of the rock. You know what I mean? Big piece of the rock. And so Prudential says, you can move mountains. There's nothing you can't do. Now, that's her ad. Now, this is kind of dirty. The first time I ever saw this, I just looked up in the pages, yellow pages. I called a Prudential man, and I said, I'm just reading your ad. And he was delighted. I mean, how often does an insurance guy get a sucker over the phone? And I mean, he was as friendly as he could be. And I said, this is what it says, you can move mountains. He says, yes, sirree. There's nothing you can't do. I said, this isn't a mountain, but I said, I got some dirt out here in my backyard. This nursery keeps dropping dirt in my backyard. And I just want to spread it out. There's no talk. I said, no, is this your ad? I said, are you Prudential? Can you move mountains? There's nothing you can't do. I said, this is so small, you won't even have to come out. You don't even have to make a house call. You can probably do this from my phone. But I said, you just spread that out. He hung up on me. That's his ad. There's nothing you can't do. You can move mountains. Now, what has that got to do with life insurance? I think it was rude of him to do that. And I'm sure he's telling stories about me. Here's one. This one is fantastic. Let's you be you. Now, what product is that? Let's you be you. Yeah, it's Reebok tennis shoes. Now, I'm not against Reebok tennis shoes, but, man, the reason I put on tennis shoes is because I don't want to be me. I want to put on these tennis shoes, and I want to jump to where it doesn't look like me. But when you buy a pair of tennis shoes and it lets you be you, that's going to be a disappointing deal, see? But they must sell them. Oh, here, nothing succeeds like Ultras. Discover Ultras and discover the best you, the you that was born to shine. Anything is possible if you dare. Can you believe that we get sucked into these things? Here's one that says, we give you the power to open any darkness. This is by G.E. Here's how we sell cameras. This is only from the mind. Accept no limitations. Put simple, technology can help you surmount any obstacle. With this unmatched system, the possibilities are limitless as your imagination. It's Minolta cameras. Nothing about the camera in the whole ad. It's all about your imagination. Here's one, even a watch. A man comes out on the television set. He's dressed in black. And as he begins to meditate, the spoon that's on the table curls up into a ball. And then he begins to concentrate on a glass that's there, and he shatters the glass. And then he begins to get a migraine headache as he tries to concentrate on the watch. And then it says, it keeps on a-licking and keeps on ticking, or something like that, Timex. Now, I'm insulted by that. Another ad, it shows a guy come out, and with his mind, he crushes a table, he crushes chairs, he crushes glasses, and then he tries to stop the watch, and he can't do it. And how do they end? If it's Timex, it takes a licking and keeps on a ticking. And we, you know, it's just ridiculous. Here's Advantage Plus, one of the phone systems that I guess you can option for. A guy is wearing a sweatshirt. It says mental state. And here's what the ad says. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. Well, I wish my algebra students would put their mind to it then, because some of them cannot get the hang of that course. Now, here are other ones. Pyramid cuff watch. Pyramid power. The pyramid. Power symbol of ancient pharaohs. Today's new age symbol of vitality and energy. The most compelling shape in the universe. Never more timely than now. And it goes on to talk about the sculpture and how it will bring energy waves into your body. And they sell it. This one is, I'd be insulted if I were a lady. Mind, body, and spirit beautiful. Female energy. Female reproductive formula to fortify your body. Woman creativity, clear thinking, spiritual awareness. You take this medicine and it will help you to have a new age experience and give you female energy. Absolutely ridiculous, but people are buying this stuff. Here is jewelry, crystal jewelry, and it protects you with a spiritual awareness when you wear it. Let you express yourself on the high roads of life. Now, there's not one thing in here about the car, but this will just let you express yourself on the high road of life. It's Oldsmobile. Now, I'm not, if someone gives me a brand new Oldsmobile right after this message, I'll drive it. But I just want you to know, the way they advertise is new age. Here's a copier. Working together to make you look better. Nothing about the copier. This one is a Christmas card. Christmas is not a date. It's a state of mind. Sent out by a local filling station here in Wichita. 17 Magazine. It tells you how to have this new age experience. 17 Magazine is the most read magazine by girls between the ages of 14 and 22. The title of the article is called Mellow Out and Meditate, and it shows a girl sitting in the lotus position saying, and Om, I guess is how I should pronounce it. And it says the thing you need to do is you need to focus inwardly. Breathe in slowly and deeply, saying to yourself, I am, I am, I am. It's a play on what God said to Moses when he revealed who God was. And the whole thing tells how to relax and how to meditate and how to have the New Age experience. And it's to begin saying, I am, I am. It's a mockery of God. And the articles go on and on. And yet, we're bombarded in every way by this. What I'm saying is that they have indeed succeeded by allowing us to look at the New Age as something that's daily. Now, I'm not speaking against any of the products in particular. I'm simply saying that they have decided to use New Age advertisement, haven't they? Because the emphasis is you and not the product. And so there are other ads that say, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. That's sponsored by a church. That's not the greatest love. Mr. Rogers has kids sing, "This little light of mine," and then he tells them that the little light that's shining is within them. Folks, that's not true. What he is saying is false. It is against all that believers in Jesus Christ would stand for. And there are many other ads as well that we could look at, but I think you get the feeling that we are being surrounded by that. Now, next, what about education? Again, the reason I select education is because I think that it's such an important area. Whether we realize it or not, we trust our children to the education system, and the education of our child probably has a bigger influence on them than anything else. Their teachers, the values that their teachers have, these things have a great impact on the children that they would come and be taught under them. And so as we look at the education system, what kinds of aspects do we see? And frankly, as I look at some of these, I'm worried, because I think that maybe one of the areas where the New Age is making its greatest inroads might be in the area of education and self-esteem and meditation and visualization. Now, these are some of the words that are used, and if we're not careful, we begin to say, well, it's okay to visualize. You see, the New Age say that visualization is different than to say imagine. Imagine you confess it is not real. Visualize means that this is as real as whether the object is there or not. It doesn't matter. That's why they say visualize the breaking of bread. You don't have to have bread or wine to visualize the breaking of bread. For example, in a speech class at Wichita State University, here are the directions that you're told for this speech class. You're told to face one another, pair off in twos, sit in the lotus position, look at the third eye, mirror image each other's thoughts, try to read each other's minds. Now, what has that got to do with speech? Absolutely nothing. What does that have to do with the New Age? Everything. But you see, that can be done under the auspices of education, and no one complains. Listen, if it is wrong for us to talk about the Lord and education, then why can we introduce other religions like that? And sooner or later, I hope some people get upset enough that they begin to say, hey, I'm opposed to that. In Iowa, the required reading list last year included books where the people, the children in the stories actually got the spirit guides indwelt these young people. And they possessed God qualities when they were indwelt by the spirit guides. Now, you might think that that's neutral, but I don't. I think that's against all the teaching of God's Word. There are four books that are being recommended for teaching spiritual lessons to children. These are called the Spiritual Teaching for Children series. And on the front, there's a young boy and a young girl that sit on these four volumes. They sit in the lotus position, in the Hindu position. They have a star, the hexagram star in a wheel that's the Hindu symbol for recycling and reincarnation. And Jenny Dent is the one who proposes these things. And in her statement, I simply want to read to you, here's what she says. And by the way, she is a consultant for education in several states. This is just incredible that we would hire these kind of people to make the curriculum for teaching religion. But here's what she says. Jesus of Nazareth prepared for many lives for his incarnation as a world teacher. After Jesus' death, his followers started to insist that only he was the Son of God and that people could only be saved by believing in him. White Eagle, my spirit teacher, has a slightly different interpretation, that people are saved by the light within them. Jesus himself did not mean for people to worship him. And she's the one that is writing the spiritual curriculum, the religion curriculum, for the new religion that's being introduced in some of the schools, including North Carolina. I'll quote from that in just a moment. Now, sooner or later, the most neutral among us have got to say, hey, that is opposed to all that we're taught and all that we believe according to the Bible. But the Bible said in the last days you'll know, because men will be lovers of themselves. There will be a religion that will bring together all of the religions of the world. This summer in Canada, for the first time, people there began to say, you know what, we are seeing New Age in our schools. Now, that was a breakthrough, because until this year, we would go there and say, yeah, that may happen in the United States, but boy, that would never happen here. But Arnott McEntee's own granddaughter, in a class, as they closed their eyes, as they lay on the floor, they levitated a sheet of paper off of the table in their classroom. When she didn't want to be a participant of that anymore, she was singled out and persecuted in several ways in that school because she would not be a part of the New Age meditation class. Peterborough, Canada. Second graders. They were taught that they were gods. Literally taught that they were gods. They introduced each other as gods. Wichita. Middle schools. I realize that whenever you talk close to home, there's always some dangers, but nonetheless, this is what's going on. The first 25 minutes of middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, we have an introduction to New Age thinking, meditation. It's a way, supposedly, to relax. But in Wichita last year, there are cases where there was channeling of dead relatives brought up by 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. I don't know about you. I don't think that's a neutral subject. They were taught how to have out-of-the-body experiences, how to leave the classroom and look at the rest of the classroom from up on top of the classroom. And it goes on. The sex education. Now, officially, the position is that that the kids are to abstain from sex. But here's their thinking. Since they won't abstain, we're going to teach them safe sex. Now, let me just give you a little illustration. That's like saying, listen, we don't want you to steal, but since you're going to steal, we're going to teach you how to get away with it. Because we know you're going to steal. So if you're going to steal anyway, here's how to steal and get away with it. We're against sex. But since you're going to do it, we're going to teach you how to have safe sex. Now, in Wichita, if you're in the middle school, for 4 weeks in your science class as sixth graders, they will cover sex education. It'll be a little longer in the 7th grade, a little longer in the 8th grade. In the 7th grade, it will be in your home ec class, next in your science class in the 8th grade. A 6th grader will have 3 weeks on sex, including naming all the parts of the body, watching films on birthing techniques, and then they will actually talk to you about birth control. Wichita, for the present time, has elected not to include the program where they actually practice putting condoms on. Girls will practice putting condoms on male models. But that is being done in this country. They introduced the program by having a cowboy come in with condoms hanging down from a cowboy hat, singing songs with a guitar. Now, if you think this prevents people from having sex, you're living under a rock somewhere. They talk about masturbation. They talk about AIDS for a week. They talk about sodomy. And listen, this does not keep people from having sex. It introduces them to it. And they admit in their goals that we want to desensitize these children. We want to tear down modest barriers that have been put up. Modesty barriers. I'll tell you what, sooner or later, folks, in the name of New Age, in the name of anything else, at least in the name of decency, we need to object to what is going on. When I heard about this program first on a national radio program, I said, man, I'll tell you, I am so glad that will never be here. Only to have this very program that I'm telling you the details of presented at the teacher's workshop 1 year ago. And some of the details of it were implemented last year and others will be implemented this year in our own school. Now, you can say what you want to say, but folks, there's no way that in any sense of imagination that presents godliness, does it? What is wrong with simply telling children that that is wrong? What is wrong with proclaiming total abstaining from sex until marriage? That's what the Bible preaches. But just because we've got something called New Age, now we think we can introduce any idea. What's new for Kansas schools? I think you'll find this interesting. It's called the New American School. Dr. Shirley McCune, I'm sure she would enjoy me quoting her because I will simply quote her words from the last Governor's Conference on Education. And among the things she says is that we are not interested in teaching children facts or for them to just get knowledge. We want to teach them experience. We're interested in values because they live in a world that changes so quickly that if you just teach them facts, they're going to be out of date. So we've got to teach them how to experience. All right? If you're going to teach them about drugs, what do? Well, you have to experience drugs to teach them about it. You have to experience sex to teach them about it. How can you be opposed to sex before marriage until you've experienced it? How can you be opposed to drugs until you've experienced it? Now, again, I just have to beg to differ. I'm opposed to that kind of philosophy. They talk about this, that we need to raise better human capital. Those are her exact words, better human capital to feed the capitalist machine. And so that's why we want to begin introducing parents as educators. So you begin to bring an educator in at the time of pregnancy. If you can, that would be the best way. And you actually begin to indoctrinate them and make them a part of the whole process. The comprehensive basic curriculum for North Carolina, I'll simply pick on that because I have a number of handouts related to that. But among the things that it involves, it talks about their preschool curriculum. And in their total curriculum that finally leads to these things, number one, they want to teach us how to be global citizens. We're citizens of the world. Next, they want to teach children that they're a product of all of humanity, not a product of two parents. They want to begin to have guided imaginary or visionary teaching. They want us to be interdependent, in other words, the world citizen. And some of these things, they actually only saluted the flag twice throughout their entire years in school. Once in the second grade, once in the third grade, and from that time on, they're asked to either meditate on it or visualize it, or they're asked to paraphrase what the flag salute means to them. This is the craziest thing I can ever... if you could dream up something crazy, you couldn't do any better, could you? Now, they have added to it, that was the 1985 program, they've added to it an AIDS curriculum. The AIDS curriculum, to get a fair perspective, they said, it was written by a homosexual who publicly supports sodomy is legal. Is that going to be a fair curriculum? Here is their program for preschoolers. And among the things that they advertise here are a number of booklets, and one of them is called Lollipop Power. And in Lollipop Power, the publishers give alternate children's books, including books about gays and lesbian families, to break down the barriers. Here's another one. The New Seed Press publishes books free from racial, class, or sex role stereotyping. And it goes into detail about what they cover. And my dear friend, it's sick. You see, sooner or later, we've got to be willing to say, you know what, I'm opposed to this. They say that our goal is to do critical thinking, to teach our kids to be critical thinkers. Now, I'm not against them being thinkers. But when you begin talking about critical thinkers, the union leader, the New Hampshire Daily Paper of April the 6th, 1989, discusses the issue. Here's what he says. He says, the program 2020 devoted a great deal of time to the alleged example of brainwashing of preschoolers. But it says, our goal is to have them become critical thinkers. Being critical, which comes by challenging one's parents, by challenging all authority figures, as well as the law, one's country, moral absolutes, and God. That's how they define being a critical thinker. when talking about, okay, why, when we bring all this in, why do the reading level and the test scores go down? Here's what they said, all right, we will address that issue. You know how they addressed it? They redefined the definition of reading ability. They redefined what it means to be illiterate. And their new definition says this, that to be literate simply means that you can read well enough to have good self-worth, whatever that means. You see, somewhere along the line, someone has got to say, hey, this is a joke. This thing cannot continue on. And yet, right out of the Kansas program for education, here is an ad for educating global citizens. I mean, it's easy to say this has happened in California and New York. My dear friend, it's here as well. Time Magazine. Education. Doing bad and feeling good. Now, Time Magazine is not a Christian publication. But listen to what it says. A standardized math test was given to 13-year-olds in the 6 countries last year. Koreans did the best. Americans did the worst. Coming in behind Spain, Britain, Ireland, Canada. Now the bad news. I mean, that was the good news. We came in last. That was the good news. Now the bad news. Besides being shown triangles and equations, the kids were shown the statement, I'm good at math. In that category, the Koreans came in last. Now they were the best at doing math, but they were the worst at their evaluation of how well they did math. But Americans were number one. Americans said that they were good at doing math and they came in last in the test. And this author goes on to say, American students may not know their math, but they've evidently absorbed the lessons of the newly fashionable self-esteem curriculum wherein kids are taught to feel good about themselves. Of course, it's not just educators who are convinced that feeling good is the key to success. The governor of Maryland recently announced the formation of a task force on self-esteem, a 23-member panel. It says that this will do away with drug abuse, teenage pregnancy, failure in school, and many other social ills. It's incredible, isn't it? In our school system, just recently, they handed out a form, I think, to someone who was probably a third grader, and it was a evaluation form on if you love yourself, love self-awareness. And it had some categories. I love myself. $1 seldom, $1 sometimes, $1 most of the time, $1 always. Check your box. Now, I know what you're thinking. Boy, I think you're a little hard on this whole idea of self-esteem. Well, let's just look at it. Is it biblical? That's the question. Is it biblical? And we're talking all the time about, you know, if I could just build up my kid's self-esteem. Listen, you will not find one word in all the Bible about building up self-esteem. And if I had a dollar for every parent that came to me and said, you know, if my kid just had a better self-esteem, he'd do better. No, he doesn't need more self-esteem. I see these cocky little rascals. They don't need more self-esteem. I'll tell you what they need. They need Christ's esteem. That's what will motivate him. That's what will cause them to do good. John the Baptist, it was said of him that not a greater was born among women. I mean, if there's a guy that ever should have had a healthy self-esteem, it would be John the Baptist. When the Bible says not a greater was ever born among women. Here's what John the Baptist says. He says, he, meaning Christ, he must increase, I must decrease. Would you call that a healthy self-esteem? No, but it's biblical, isn't it? He says, the one who is coming, he said, I'm not even worthy to undo his shoelaces. Is that a healthy self-esteem? Listen to this, John chapter 1, verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh one who is preferred before me, for he was before me. It rules out reincarnation, doesn't it? And every statement that John made, it was always to belittle himself and to exalt Christ. But for some reason, we've turned it around today, haven't we? The Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul had a bright mind, wouldn't you say? I think he was a thinker. But here's what he says about himself. He said that he was the chief of sinners. Is that good self-esteem? No, but Paul said it's true. Here's what Paul said. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's his esteem. You see, he esteemed Christ, didn't he? What our kids need today is not a better self-esteem. They need Christ's esteem. And when you say, you know what, my life is to esteem Christ, I'll tell you what, that kid will not have a problem with identity crisis, will he? Because Christ is the greatest person. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And if your kid is struggling, then teach him Christ's esteem. And he won't have a problem. When he begins to say, you know what, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Listen, Christ is so great, he's so wonderful, he's so marvelous, and yet he loved me and he died for me. You don't need to teach him self-esteem, teach him Christ's esteem. Here's what Philippians says. Look not every man on his own things, but every man should look on the things of others. It says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Christ never exalted himself, did he? He allowed God to exalt him. I really believe that sooner or later we've got to say that these ideas of self-esteem, these ideas of self-love, these ideas of proclaiming religion, sooner or later, folks, it's got to stop. Now, here's another one that if it hasn't got you up until now, surely this one will. In North Carolina, they have now decided, and by the way, North Carolina just seems to kind of lead the trend, so we'll soon be doing it here. But in North Carolina, they are now adding to their program, they're going to begin teaching religions. Notice that plural. They will teach all the major religions, they will all be presented as true, and there will not be any rebuttal. Now, again, I've got to tell you that I'm slightly offended, but especially when I read this. Here's her statement. All great religions will really disappear before the mighty rush of facts within the next two generations. That's why they don't mind teaching all religions. You see, one of the aspects of the New Age, and I can show you this if you want to read the book Ravaged by the New Age, because it will say Education in the New Age. And in this book, it begins to give some of the programs, and among the things that they will say is this. Number one, we must show in our educational systems that children of the future will serve a one-world government and live in a one-world culture. Now look around at what you're seeing in some of the school systems, and you'll see they're trying to bring this in exactly. Number two, patriotism to one country must be abolished. All national barriers are to be destroyed to build a new one-world order. We need to talk about world citizenship. That's exactly what Dr. Shirley McHugh is presenting to the Governor's Conference on Education. Three, children will accept the Eastern mystic religion, and it should be married to the Christianity of the West to forge a new unified social and religious order of the universal truths. Young people must be taught to believe in reincarnation rather than resurrection and the judgment teachings of the Bible. That's part of it. Children are to be taught that all religions, Christianity, witchcraft, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, paganism, are equal, worthwhile, and that it doesn't matter into which God one believes. Now, they even list paganism and witchcraft right on the same level as Christianity. Their statement goes on to say this. Alice Bailey says, religious differences are mainly a product of birth. It's where you were born. That's the only difference. We must develop in our students a willingness for tolerance and acceptance of other people. Well, all I can tell you is this, that I think the New Age has made a great impact on the politics of the world, don't you? I think that it's made a great impact on the church going of the world. I think it's made a great impact on the religions of the world. I think it's made a great impact on the education and on the advertisement. Our time is well past, and so we'll stop. We're going to do an extra session tonight at 6:30. For those of you that want to cover business and music and health in sports and technology, and as well, I want to show you some things about people that actually say that through science fiction we can discover God. And some of the articles are incredible, absolutely incredible. It will talk about how colors can lead you to the new age and to a new age experience. It will talk about how technology can actually bring you to the new age. Now, why would we look at this? Here's why. Because the Bible says that in the last days, men would be lovers of their self. That's what we're teaching, aren't we? It says that the lie, the deception would be so strong that even the elect could be deceived. One of the subjects I want to talk about tonight will be entertainment. And as you begin to see that the Ninja Turtle and the phenomena that it's created, and then you begin to see where they get their power and what they advocate as their power, my dear friend, I hope a Christian would never support anything involved with a Ninja Turtle. Now, I realize I'm going to be a fanatic, and I realize that it may be better to put me in a room all by myself, lock me in there with all my articles and all of this, but I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, I really believe that it's high time we as Christians say, you know what? We have decided that we're going to follow this book. And if something doesn't agree with this book, then we're not afraid to be against it because we're going to be for the Word of God and for Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're being overwhelmed, we're being saturated, and it's exactly the case of the frog in the pan. You know what I mean? If you were to take hot water, and if you were to take a frog, and take this nice hopping frog, and drop him into a pan of hot water, immediately he'd jump out, wouldn't he? But you know what? If you'll take cool water and put the frog in there and put the pan of cool water on the stove and turn up the heat, the frog will simply sit in the water until the water boils. You know what's happening to us? We're like the frog. We're being so bombarded by what we see on television, what we read in newspapers, what we have in education, that we're like the frog, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and we're paralyzed. We can't jump. And so when we see others who are alarmed by it, we say, there's going to be fanatics. You know, isn't that a Bible verse? In the last days, there will be fanatics. Well, if there isn't one, there ought to be one, because there's fanatics. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather be a fanatic and honor Christ than to be a frog that's so paralyzed that it won't jump. Satan's subtle lie. It is subtle. But my dear friend, to teach your children that they are gods is not according to the Bible. To teach our families that reincarnation is an acceptable doctrine, my dear friend, that is against the Bible. To teach that there are many paths to heaven, it's against the Bible. Because the Bible is clear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus was upset because religious people just brought in a little bit of goods to sell at the back, and he flipped the tables over. Can you imagine what he'd do if he were to come today and see the saturation of New Age thinking in our bookstores, in our churches, in our schools, in our homes? Matter of fact, I think there'd be some turning over, don't you? How do you know the last days are here? Because he says, the mystery of iniquity has already begun its work. And it will continue. And then, those that are believers will be taken out of here. And he will be revealed for all that he is. My dear friend, if there was ever a time for us to stand up and to be counted for God, it's today. But if we can be silent, if we can say, I'm going to fit into the system. I'm going to let it surround me. I'm not going to... You know, I'm liable to lose my job if I oppose it. My dear friend, in the coming day, I'd hate to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ. I really would. I don't think Paul would be silent, do you? I don't think the three Hebrew children would be silent. They wouldn't compromise. I mean, I think you could have said, look, guys, over here, when they play that kind of music, you know, you just kind of politely bow. They said, we can't. We just can't do it. You see, we're Hebrews. We belong to the true God. And we don't bow to any other God. Yeah, but look, guys, you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. I mean, think about the consequences. I said, we've thought about the consequences, and the consequences don't matter. You see, we're Hebrews. We believe in the one true God. We won't bow. They got a personal audience. Nebuchadnezzar says, I think you guys are new here. You don't understand the language. Read my lips. When the music plays, you bow. They said, King, we understand your language, but we're not going to bow. Did God honor him? I'll tell you, the joy that I had this summer, because one of the programs in education in the New Age is to teach children that there is no heaven and there is no hell. Now, I know for a fact that that is going on in this city. And this summer, in Canada, in a seventh grade class, they taught there is no heaven and no hell. And a seventh grade boy said, wait a minute. He says, there is. And he stood up. And the teacher said for him to shut up and to sit down. And a few minutes later, the teacher said, you know, because there is no heaven, and there's no, and the little kid stood up again, and he got kicked out of the class, and he got sent to the principal's office, because he said, I can't let her say that there's no heaven and there's no hell, when the Bible says there is heaven and there is hell. And I'll tell you what, I'd be so proud of my kid if he got expelled from school because he stood up for that. What do you want your kid to stand up for? And I really believe that we're in danger of people who stand for nothing will fall for anything. And that's where we are. We've taught our kids to be silent. No, you know, we don't agree with that, but just be quiet because, you know, you may get in trouble. You may get an F. I tell you what, I'd thrill. I'd treasure the paper where my child wrote a rebuttal to a system that said there's no such thing as creation. And he said, yes, there is. Here it is. And I don't care if he gets an F. He'll get an A in heaven and an F in some grade book on earth that will perish. It doesn't matter. What about heaven? And I believe that we as parents are so silent where we work, and we're so silent all around that we've taught our kids, you be silent. I'm praying by the grace of God we find out, you know what, in the last days we may have to say something about what we believe. I'd love it if we had little champions, little young people that knew they were born again and knew what the Bible said and weren't afraid to take a stand. I tell you, I'd like to be a teacher that said, you know what? I lost my job because I couldn't compromise on what was being taught. It's all right, you'll have employment in heaven. It'll be worshiping the Lord. That's a pretty good job, don't you think? Benefits are great. You see, we're so worried about our little job. We're so worried about our little car. We're so worried about our little grade. My dear friend, the final grade will be given by God, won't it? But I won't win an Oscar. Got the mothers mad at me, now I got you mad at me. But I'll tell you what, if we could just see one single person won to Christ because we were not afraid to take a stand, my dear friend, it would be worth it, wouldn't it? It really would. Our Father, we come before Thee today. We thank You that the Bible is not a Bible that is unclear, but it makes a line. And Father, I pray today as we look at these things, the bombardment of the New Age. We're buying products as it advertises to us. Our business seminars are loaded with it. Our sports training is saturated with it. Our education is promoting it. They honestly claim that in three generations they can completely reprogram the entire family thinking. And Father, as we look at that statement, we know that would be true, but I'm not sure we have three generations left. So Father, I pray that as we would see these things, we might understand more clearly what it says when it talks about, now the serpent was more subtle than any animal that God had made. And as the serpent brought the lie to Eve, it was a subtle lie. Father, it's probably just as subtle as those doctrines that are being taught in seminars, at work, and at classes in school, and statements at universities. And Father, we pray that we might be a people in these last days who we'll go back to the Word of God. Father, help us not to bow to the world system. Help us not to buckle under the pressure that Satan would propose. But Father God, may we honor you. Father, we thank you that we are living in the last days. We thank you that we may well be the people that see Jesus Christ return. What a sight that will be. What a thrill that will be to hear the trumpet sound. To leave this old earth and to join him. But our Father, we pray that each day in the meantime that we might be willing to battle. That Christ might be exalted and honored. Father, may we esteem Christ. We ask and pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for coming. And if you're interested, we'll be happy to have you join us at 6:30 tonight.